some years ago, I came across a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and some disciples in East Africa, in which a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, "How do I know if I'm chanting with quality?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "When you chant with quality, you won't have to ask. You'll know." That it's just like someone who's eating doesn't have to ask if he's satisfied or not. When he's satisfied, he'll know. He doesn't have to take a certificate from someone who's satisfied with your meal. And then Srila Prabhupada said that when quality comes, you'll feel like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanyai tam jagat sarvam govinda virahinami. The whole world is vacant in the absence of Krishna. Just like if, for example, a wife loses her husband, the whole world seems vacant. And everything that she sees will remind her of her husband. And then Srila Prabhupada said that in the beginning you have to chant as a matter of duty. You've vowed to chant 16 rounds, so you must chant 16 rounds as a duty. You do your duty and the quality will come. Then spontaneously you'll want to chant. You'll feel like Rupa Goswami. What is one tongue and two ears? If I had millions of tongues and billions of ears, then I could chant. Or like Haridas Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told him, "You don't have to chant your rounds anymore. You've done enough." But he didn't want to stop. And then Srila Prabhupada gave his own example in a little different context. And he said, just like me, I get up in the night to translate and write my purports. No one tells me that you have to get up, but I do it because I'm enthusiastic to do it. Therefore, people like my purports. And he explained that stage of quality, Govinda Virahinami, that comes, well, he mentioned two words, the Shakti, which is like the most advanced stage of sadhana bhakti, and bhava. That will come. But for now you do your duty and chant your 16 rounds. Now we here today are somewhere in between. We're not satisfied just to officially chant our 16 rounds or mechanically chant our 16 rounds. We want to chant better rounds with some attention. But we're not at the stage, you know, Govinda Virahinami. The whole world is vacant. without Govinda. But we must do our duty. That is given. We must chant our 16 rounds. And we can hanker, Srila Prabhupada has explained in the beginning, one, say, derives pleasure from the service, and then later one derives pleasure in relation to the object of the service, Krishna, or Radha and Krishna. So we can pray to the holy name to be merciful to us and allow us to utter the holy name and hear the holy name. And have the holy name enter our minds and hearts. Because we cannot do it on our own. Anyone who's tried knows we can't do it on our own. Even Narada Muni, in his meditation, the Lord appeared in the lotus of his heart. But then after some time, the Lord disappeared. And Narada tried to recreate the same situation in which the Lord had appeared the first time, but the Lord didn't appear again. And then he heard a voice in which the Lord said that, because you are not yet mature in your devotional service, apakpari, you're immature, you will be unable to see me again in this life. But I have allowed you to see me to increase your desire for me. So, the holy name is a person, Krishna, alive, conscious, personal, and he will deal with us in the way he thinks best. But from our side, we have to be constant in our endeavor and in our prayer. As far as chanting with feeling, whatever feeling we have, in a sense, we can actually put into our chanting. Eventually that other feeling will come because of separation from Krishna. But now, we can put whatever our feelings are into the chanting and pray to the holy name to give us shelter. When I first joined, I was told that Srila Prabhupada said that if you're angry, you should think of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And if you're lusty, you should think of Krishna and the gopis. So, you know, all holy names are included in Krishna's name, just as all incarnations are included in Krishna. And somehow or other, once you hear the holy name and think of Krishna. Think of the holy name as Krishna. And whatever our failings, whatever our frustrations, we can place at the lotus feet of the holy name and beg for mercy. Sometimes I'll be chanting, trying to hear, and then at a certain stage, like Draupadi, just throw my hands up in the air and say, Krishna, please save me. I'm helpless. You're the only one who can save me. Or if things are going a little better than usual, we can become proud. And then when we notice that, that makes us humble, because we realize how fallen we are, that we, that the pauper is proud of his penny. As Srila Prabhupada said, I think probably because Mother Narayani is here, I'm thinking of the early days in Boston more, but this is another one from the early days in Boston, that we're like players on a chessboard being controlled by someone else. And if we move one step forward on the chessboard, immediately we think, I am God. So, I have that tendency. Probably many of us have that tendency. So when we notice that, we take more shelter. You know, Krishna, I mean, how pathetic, you know. I chanted one mediocre round and I think I'm so great, you know, how pathetic, please save me. We also pray to the Vaishnavas. This was something I read some years ago in Raghunath Das Goswami's instructions called Manushisha. And he compares himself to a traveler on a highway. And these robbers, like lust, greed, and anger, capture him on the highway and bind him with ropes. And he's helpless, he's bound. He's at the hands of these ropes, thieves. So what does he do? He calls out for help to the Vaishnavas. And as soon as he calls out for help to the Vaishnavas, they immediately come and release him from the ropes of material desire that bound him. So sometimes we do that. I do that. Cry out to Prabhupada, please save me. And he responds. Pray to Haridas Thakur. Pray to Tulsi Devi. Pray to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. For so many well wishers, we have so many superior authorities. But what really, it really works, so to speak, when one really does feel helpless and desperate. And one will feel helpless and desperate when one is intent in one's goal. And then one sees one is unable to reach it. One is stuck, maybe even going down. So cry out for help. And help comes. But help doesn't always come immediately. Sometimes Krishna wants to increase our desire. Like when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, he disappeared. And in great separation, they were roaming all over Vrindavan looking for him. And eventually, when they cried out the most piteous terms of the Gopi Gita, then Krishna, his heart melted and he returned to them. And then there was some discussion, and in the end Krishna said that I was always near you. You didn't see me, but I was always near you. I never forgot. I just wanted to increase your desire for me. So we might be chanting, doing all of the things that we should to chant properly and hear attentively, but still Krishna may be hiding from us. We may be praying, he may not respond immediately, but he's there, he's hearing our prayers, he's watching our efforts, but he's choosing not to come immediately because he doesn't want to be so cheap that we think we can get Krishna on command whenever we pronounce the syllables of the holy name properly or try to fix our mind on the sound of the holy name or even pray to him to be merciful to us. So he's independent, Spirat, but his nature is he's very affectionate to his devotees, Bhakta Vatsala. And if we sincerely endeavor in that desperate mood of helplessness and sincerity, he will reciprocate. Another emotion that we experience, a feeling that we experience, is sadness. And that ultimately is from separation from Krishna. Now, in a more advanced state, we actually feel separation from Krishna. But if we feel sad because of separation from someone in the material world or from some disappointment in the material world, but ultimately our only problem, you know, is being separated from Krishna. And the only solution that will solve all problems is to be united with Krishna. His Grace Srivasura Prabhu has told a story. I don't think he would mind if I repeated it because he's told it on occasion. But after some years of chanting Hare Krishna, it finally dawned on him that we're supposed to chant with attention. Like, devotees can go for years just chanting, and they don't really get it that they're supposed to chant with attention. Anyway, he got it. At a certain stage, he got it, and he was trying to chant with attention. And he started to become overwhelmed with feelings of grief. And he thought, what's happening? Because that was still relatively early, maybe the mid-1980s, when we thought, you know, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So he thought, you know, here I'm chanting, trying to chant with attention more than ever before. And instead of feeling happy, I'm feeling this overwhelming sense of grief. So then he started to think there was something wrong with him. He was getting the opposite result. So he kept this secret, you know, he didn't want anyone to know. And then one day he was chanting, and he was completely overcome with this these feelings of grief. And he, like, he came to the bottom of it, the absolute bottom of it, and that was that he felt grief because he had turned away from Krishna. He realized that he had turned away from Krishna, and that was the most abominable act that one could ever do. And at the same time, he had a perception of Krishna's beauty and mercy, and he realized that in his turning away from Krishna, there was absolutely no fault in Krishna. The fault was entirely his, that he had turned away from Krishna. And subsequently, he connected that perception to the second verse of the Shikshastaka, that Tava Kripa, you are so merciful. You've made yourself available in your holy name. You invested all of your potencies in your holy name. But Mama Gurdaiva, I am so unfortunate. I have no attraction. So he had that twofold perception and realization. On the one hand, Krishna's mercy, and on the other hand, his misfortune. And that was a revolution in his spiritual life and in his chanting. And it may happen that when we chant seriously, make a serious effort to chant attentively, that things come up. And that's actually good. It's part of the process of purification. Like again, in the early days, one disciple told Srila Prabhupada that he felt he had more good qualities before he joined. That after joining, he felt more bad qualities were coming out. And Srila Prabhupada compared it to a room, a house or a room that's been very dirty for a long time. But all the dust is settled. It's there, but it's all settled. It's just been accumulating for a long time. And when you start to clean, all the dust starts to fly up. And you think, wow. You know, superficial, I think it's dirtier than it was. I'm supposed to be cleaning it, and it's getting dirtier. But it was there, but it was sort of, you know, under the carpet, or just sort of settled, and now it's coming up. So that can be part of the process of purification. The last time I was in Dallas, not this visit, but the previous visit, I was chanting in the temple room after Mangalarti, you know, trying to chant attentively with feeling, and suddenly I became overwhelmed with this perception that I was a demon. You know, that I was the person who I could most closely identify with was Ravana. You know, it's just like I mentioned yesterday, that in many of our relationships, there's a mood of service, but at the same time, like in personal relationships, there's a relationship of the soul and a relationship of the body. And we want the relationship of the soul to become more prominent and the relationship of the body to be less so. So, now I'm speaking in retrospect, but there's, you know, may have been some subtle kind of contamination of the desire to enjoy, but at that moment, that's all there was. It seemed like that's all that there was in me, but the desire to enjoy. And I was like, it was staggering. And just then it was time to greet the deities. I could hardly stand up. I could hardly, but I had to, you know, because after I swung, you can't just sit on the sidelines and drink deity greeting. And then I had to give class, so sort of had to, like, you know. But I was very eager to discuss this with Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. And so this so happened from Dallas, I came to Houston, and simultaneously he also came to Houston, so we met. And he was saying this is part of the process. And he said that a humble devotee will feel like that. There will be songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like, you know, like, we're in the same category, but like Amara Jeevan, or he, like, laments his, not just fallen condition, but sort of demonic nature. And he referred to the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the divine demonic nature. That when Krishna explained the two natures to Arjuna, he had to reassure Arjuna that, don't worry, you're of the divine nature. So he started reading into it that Arjuna, as a humble Vaishnava, must have been hearing the demonic description, thinking that was describing him. So that will be there. And it's true. Actually, it is true. I mean, after Ravindra Swarup Prabhu said so many things to encourage me, in the end I said, but the thing is, I had that experience and I know it's true. And then he said, well, you know, in a way, we're all demons, but we're being reformed. You know, we're like a society of demons being reformed. So, I'm sure that all of you pious souls will never have to experience anything like that. But whatever we experience, the idea is to sort of dovetail the feeling in Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy name. And just to go deeper and deeper in the chanting and feel completely helpless and dependent. Another thing Srila Prabhupada said, it sort of came up yesterday when Sarvabhauma Prabhu mentioned about feeling complacent, that our service should be a challenge to that we can only meet by coming to a higher level of Krishna consciousness, or taking more shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness. So of course there's over-endeavor, we want to be careful of that, because that will disturb our chanting. But at the same time, if our life is too easy, if we feel too self-satisfied, that's also not favorable. So we want to have enough of a challenge that to meet the challenge we have to become more Krishna conscious. It means we have to take more shelter of the holy name. And as Mother Narayani mentioned yesterday, that can happen when we think, when things are out of our control. Having a major challenge in a sense means that things are out of our control. We have, you know, yeah, so that's basically all we have. There's nothing but nothing to be had in all the three worlds but the holy name. Chanting is service. Of course, we've made the point before. Once our god sister Kausalya, I think she broke her arm in a rickshaw accident in Jaipur, and she was unable to do active service. So she asked Srila Prabhupada what she should do, how she should spend her time. And Srila Prabhupada said, you should chant. And she said, but Prabhupada, I need to do some service. I can't just chant. And Prabhupada said, chanting is the best service. But each of us, coming back to the idea of a challenge, that our service should be a challenge that we have to meet by coming to a higher level. In my case, I one of those challenges is having disciples that I'm responsible to deliver. And pretty much all of us have responsibilities like that, because the Bhagavatam says guru nasasya vijayam nasasya, that no one should become a spiritual master, a father, a mother, a husband, or a guru also means teacher, or a superior relative, unless one can deliver one's dependence from repeated birth and death. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that you know, one can only be delivered from the repetition of birth and death if one is a pure devotee. So therefore, to discharge our responsibility properly, we have to become pure devotees. We have to train our dependents to become pure devotees. So our basic process is to repeat the message of Krishna, Yari Dehi Tari Kava, Krishna Upadesh, and follow the instructions of Krishna. But one day I was feeling, this was also just in my last visit to Dallas, I was feeling like, you know, I give them instructions and I try to follow the process. But still, they're sort of struggling, you know. And I was thinking it would be so helpful to them if I had more potency. Like, if I had Krishna praying, you know, then I could really do my service and really help them. So I was chanting at White Rock Lake, and I was thinking, you know, and I was chanting and chanting, I felt like I'm chanting, but they're all like blanks. Like, you know, like you have guns with bullets, so some of them are blanks. There's no live ammunition. They're like blanks. As I saw, I'm like firing blanks here. Nothing's happening. I'm saying, like, so here on the one hand, I'm firing blanks, and on the other hand, I'm saying, you know, if I really had love for Krishna, and Krishna praying, that I could really help people. And anyway, but in the end, Krishna was merciful. That does happen at a certain state. It may be just at the breaking point. That's also Krishna's characteristic. He waits for the, like, just the last moment, like with Draupadi. That was a very interesting story yesterday. Just at the last moment. Just at the last moment. And when Mother Narayani was saying how we should imagine a situation with, not imagine, but recall a situation where things were completely out of our control, I had a situation once in Johannesburg where I couldn't breathe. And it was like, I really thought I was going to lose my body. And it came to that point where there was one breath, I just couldn't take the next breath. And my oxygen was getting consumed. I thought this could be the end. And somehow I couldn't fit because of all the congestion and everything. I couldn't actually articulate the holy name, but within my mind I just called out to Krishna. And I was able to breathe. I was suddenly able to breathe again. And they rushed me to the hospital and everything. But Krishna's like that. Sometimes he waits to the very last moment, you know, just to draw out that desperate appeal, which is very much a part of our chanting, like the genuine cry of the child for its mother. And if we really care for people, we really want to do good for them, then, you know, we should get as much Krishna consciousness as we can. Like, you know, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it, but one way of looking at it is you can only give as much as you have. So if you really want to care for someone, you really want to do good for the person, you really want to give them Krishna consciousness, then you have to have Krishna consciousness. And that means Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Taking shelter of the holy name, crying to the Vaishnavas, to the spiritual master, to the holy name, to be merciful. So one can get a little, just like a drop of, you know, talk with praise to the Vaishnava, give me just one drop of faith in the holy name. Even that's something. And if we have one drop of faith in the holy name, at least, you know, we can keep chanting. That will give us the strength to continue to chant, and we can give that to others. Our words will have more potency. If they're realized. And whatever it is, we do our duty. We chant our 16 rounds. I think of the stories more on the negative side, but it's the same principle. That one mother brought her child to Mahatma Gandhi and said, you know, my son eats too much sweets. Can you tell him not to eat so many sweets? So Mahatma Gandhi said, okay, bring him back in 2 weeks. So she brought the boy back in 2 weeks, and Gandhiji said, told the boy, don't eat so many sweets. So afterwards the mother said, well, you know, you just told him not to eat so many sweets. Why didn't you tell him that 2 weeks ago when I brought him the first time? And he replied, well, I was eating sweets myself at the time. So how could I tell him not to eat sweets? So, of course we do. We repeat. That's our process, to repeat what we've heard. But the more we practice what we preach and realize what we preach, the more effect we'll have. And in that sense, also chanting is service. And it helps us in our service of encouraging others to chant, which is service to the Holy One and to others. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So we do have time for questions or comments. Anyone like to say anything? Chaitanya Das? Excellent point. Chaitanya Das says that when we preach to others, you know, the chant nicely, we're actually preaching to ourselves. That's true. And a lot of the time, when we preach something, we're tested on the same thing. You know, I'll give a class, you know, we should be humble. And then, you know, the next day, the next hour, uh-oh, I'm getting tested. And what I just told everyone else to do. So that's true. Preaching is very beneficial. You're preaching to yourself. Even if you realize the knowledge more when you preach, and you sort of have to come up to the standard that you're preaching. That's very good. Yes.
I'd like to ask two questions. The first one is
these are two of the best questions I've ever heard in my whole life. Thank you very much. What is your name?
O-B-C-K.
Thank you. I was in so much ecstasy hearing the questions, I've forgotten what they are. I remember the second one. Can you repeat the first one? How one could turn away from Krishna. Yes, that's a very good question. It's a very deep question. Well, in our philosophy, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, as we received it from our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, we understand that we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And the fact, eternal means without beginning and without end. So the fact that we're in the material world means that we've turned away from Krishna. Because from beginningless time, anadi, from beginningless time, we've had a connection with Krishna. And there are verses, you know, Krishna, Bhuliyaji, Bhogavanshakari, that as soon as one forgets Krishna and wants to enjoy, he comes under Maya. So that's sort of an existential truth about all of us. And the chanting is reviving our eternal relationship with Krishna. It's already there. It's not something artificial that we have to gain from another source. It just has to be revealed by chance. And as far as the spiritual master delivering the disciple, your question was how can any person deliver another person? And that's true. It's actually a cooperative effort. The spiritual master gives instructions and the disciples follow them or try to follow them. Once in Bombay, a man came to Srila Prabhupada. And he's like, in a sort of superficial way, pleading, you know, Swamiji, Swamiji, only you can save me, only you can save me. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I cannot save you. You have to save yourself. But I can give you the method by which you can save yourself. So the two are there. Once Srila Prabhupada commented on that mentality, some disciple prays to Srila Prabhupada, you know, appeal to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, please give me your mercy that I may follow your instructions. And Srila Prabhupada, like, of course, in his heart, Prabhupada had nothing but love for everyone, but like externally, like his lips curled in disgust. He said, you know, my mercy is that I've given you my instructions. He said, it's like someone is in the well. Someone is in a well, falling in a well, and someone else passes down a rope. And then the person at the bottom of the well is praying, please give me your mercy that my fingers will curl around the rope. His mercy is he's sending down the rope and he'll pull you up, but you have to hold on to the rope. And that that, holding on to the rope is following the instructions. But of course, the devotee, the spiritual master, he can pray for the welfare of the disciple, and that also helps. And again, depending on his purity and his relationship with Krishna, his prayers will have that efficacy to help the disciple. But still, the disciple has to make the effort. And that's what we discussed yesterday. Parishram, one must tirelessly endeavor, you know, without consideration of hopelessness or defeat, and at the same time depend on the mercy of Krishna. Yes, Namsha Tamani? She says that eventually we want to feel separation from Krishna, but isn't the first stage to feel separation from the spiritual master. In general, it looks like that. First is the spiritual master, Vaishnava, Siksha Guru, Siksha Guru. Then, Nityananda Prabhu, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then ultimately Radha and Krishna. But we have a glimmer of separation from Krishna also. But anyway, that's true. It usually begins like that. We have other questions or comments? Rasikendra Prabhu? Rasikendra Prabhu says that in order to cleanse the heart of material dirt, we have to know what the different types of dirt are. Well, there are scriptures that tell us, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Chaitanya mentions some of the different types of weeds, and in the discussion of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, Srila Prabhupada quotes His Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, about how the cleansing of the Gundicha temple represents the cleansing of the heart, and then he discusses some of these different anarthas. There are many books by previous acharyas that detail them. And by chanting itself, that process of attentive chanting, things are revealed to us about ourselves, what our weaknesses are and where we need to improve. And we can also consult other Vaishnavas. You know, it's like in that example of the devotional creeper, Bhaktilata Beach, Lord Chaitanya says one must become a gardener and plant the seed and water it and pull out the weeds and fence it. So we might not be expert gardeners, but there might be others who are more expert who can point things out to us if we're ready to subject ourselves to that. And there's a qualified people who can help us. But the thing about chanting is it's like the panacea for all diseases. So whatever your particular anarthas might be, or particular nuances in your anarthas, the chanting will cleanse them all. You know, it's not like you need a different medicine for that one medicine will cure all the diseases. And I think as part of the process of purification, you yourself will realize what anarthas are there as they are in the process of being cleansed. Shamsundar Prabhu? When will I be able to come and give the class on Nectar of Devotion? When the Lord is merciful to me? And helps me overcome my causeless reluctance? I'll keep it in mind. Maybe when the new temple's finished, though. Any other questions or comments? Mother Narayani, would you like to give us some exercise? Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.